In the name of Jesus. Amen. Jesus Christ is Lord, and He's Lord of all things, and He's Lord of His church. And there's only one church. There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one church. And we say that in our creeds. In the Apostles' Creed, we say, I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints. In the Nicene Creed, it's even more specific. We say, I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. One church. But when we look around, it's like, there's lots of churches. How can there only be one church? There's lots of churches. There seems to be lots of division. Jesus is Lord of His church, and there is only one. And unity is found in Christ. Sin and Satan separates and divides. May the Lord bless the speaking hearing of His word this morning. Sometimes you'll hear people say something, and it's well-meaning, but they'll say something like, you know, we need to go back to the way it was before there were all the different churches and denominations, kind of like it was in the book of Acts in the New Testament church. And then you hear what Paul writes and you realize there have always been divisions. Paul writes, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. What I mean is that each of you says, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? So, even then, there were divisions, and Paul called upon the Corinthians to be united in their following of Jesus and Him alone. So what does that call to unity have to say today when there are so many different denominations, so many different churches? We have to say that today, differences between Christian churches are often because of significant and important differences in teaching and practice. That's not the case that Paul's addressing. Here, Paul is condemning the divisions because there was no good reason for them. The divisions they were dealing with were based on personalities. Some say, well, I like Cephas better. I like Apollos better. I like Paul better. I like Jesus better. And Paul says, no, we follow Christ. And Christ alone. Later on, in this same letter, Paul is good. He writes, there needs to be divisions among you to show which one of you is genuine and true. In other words, it separates the wheat from the chaff. When there are divisions, you find out who's holding and standing on the truth of God's word. The tragedy behind divisions and denominations today is that many churches, many congregations have quite simply turned away from Jesus Christ as Lord. The division is caused by a departure from the truth of God's Word. You get away from God's Word and all kinds of crazy things start to happen. Jesus is Lord, and He's Lord of His church. And because He's Lord of His church, He says how it goes in His church. He's Lord of His church. We're worshiping in a Lutheran church this morning. The Lutheran church was not named by her friends, but by her enemies. Luther never wanted to have a church named after him. We don't worship Martin Luther. We don't pray to him. We don't follow him. In fact, I want to read a quotation. This is something he wrote. He says, in the first place, I ask that men make no reference to my name. Let them call themselves Christians, not Lutherans. What is Luther? After all, the teaching is not mine. And then he says, how then should I, poor, stinking, maggot fodder that I am, come to have men call the children of Christ by my wretched name? Not so, dear friends. Let us abolish all party names and call ourselves Christians. That's what Luther wanted. His enemies wanted something different. The name Lutheran was put upon the followers of Luther to be a put-down, a belittling label stuck on them by their enemies. And so when you worship in a Lutheran church, you're worshiping in a church that wasn't named by her friends, but by her enemies. And since that time, Lutheran has become a label for those who stand on the truth of God's word and hold fast to the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and believe in the importance of confessing their sins and being forgiven. But even then, there are divisions. There are divisions among Lutherans. There are Lutherans that are really conservative, and there are Lutherans that are doing things that are not in God's word and are very contrary to God's word, and yet they all have that name Lutheran. Then we have these crazy names. There's Wisconsin Synod. We're part of what is called the Missouri Synod. People are like, what's with that? We're not in Missouri. We're in Illinois. And there's a history to all that, which we're not going to get into. But Missouri Synod Lutheran has come to be a label for those Christians who are conservative and traditional in their approach to Scripture. That's putting the positive spin on it. If you want to put a negative spin, people would say, oh, Missouri Synod Lutheran, that's those people who are overly strict and rigid. Differences are not overcome by ignoring them. They're not overcome by pretending they don't matter. Rather, unity is attained when Christians submit themselves to the Word of God and the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord and Lord of His church. Jesus' body cannot be cut into pieces, and neither can His church. In our epistle lesson today, we even hear Paul say, he's thankful he didn't baptize more people. It's a great line. He says, I baptized Crispus and Gaius and the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember baptizing anybody else. But he says, I'm thankful I didn't baptize more people. So that no one could say they were baptized into Paul's name. He said, God did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Paul was not trying to get followers for himself, but to proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord. God became man in Jesus to draw people to Himself. And the entirety of being a Christian can be summed up in Jesus' simple call, two words, follow me. That's what it means to be a Christian. Follow Jesus. And that's where sinners have trouble. Sinners like us, sinners like the Corinthians. We have trouble with that first word, follow. We have trouble with it. We have trouble with that second word, me. We have trouble with the whole phrase, follow me. Following is not a hard concept. One follows, one leads, one follows. It's not hard. It's simple. We have trouble following. We have trouble listening. We have trouble following directions. That directions are from a spouse or from another family member, from our kids, from our parents, from our boss, from our doctor, from the Word of God. We have trouble following. Why do we have such trouble following? Our sinful pride. I'm going to do it my way. I will choose. This is what I want to do. I want to have things my way. We have trouble following. It doesn't work that way in God's kingdom. Jesus says, follow. He leads, we follow. And to do anything else results in quarrels and divisions and ultimately disaster. Paul reminded the Corinthian Christians there's only one they are to follow, and it's Jesus. And if that church were to survive, it's because it was built on the foundation of Jesus Christ as Lord, not on the teachings of men. The following part is followed by the me part. Jesus said, follow me. He didn't say, follow the rules. He didn't say, follow the pastor. He didn't even say, follow the Bible. He said, follow me. We don't follow an organization. We don't follow a set of ideas. We follow a person. A real living person who loves you so much that He died for you and rose for you. So even when you get the following all goofed up, Jesus never gets things goofed up. He continues to come to us again and again with His Word, calling us to follow Him. Our Christian lives, it's never a straight line. We live zigzagged. We're going from one extreme to the other. So Jesus keeps calling us by His Word to follow Him. And that way of following is a way that doesn't make any sense because it's the way of the cross. The way of the cross is not about self-promotion. It's about self-denial. The way of the cross, it's not about prosperity. It's about sacrifice. The way of the cross is not about, oh, you know, your life's going to be way better now. No, the way of the cross is expect hardship, expect persecution. And ultimately, the way of the cross takes you to death, but that's not the end of the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads to the resurrection. We worship a God who raises the dead. That's the kind of Lord who is Lord of your church and Lord over you. What a gracious Lord we have. It doesn't make sense, and it won't, and that's okay. All you have to do is follow. Follow Jesus with your ears as you hear. Follow Him with your life as you live. And be encouraged by His Word, which continues to remind you of the gifts that He has to give you as you follow Him. Joyfully, Jesus is Lord of His church. In His name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord comes again in glory. Amen.